Amen. 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 Well, again, welcome again. It is so good to see you here today. As I said earlier, always grateful to see those who are here most weeks, but since today is Friend and Family Day, if you're here as someone's guest, it's really awesome that you are here today. If someone invited you to church today, they did that for probably two reasons, at least one of these two reasons. First, they invited you because they like you, right? They decided at the very least it wouldn't be too terrible to sit by you for an hour or so at church, right? And apparently you feel the same way, and so you came, and for that we are grateful. But you know, the other reason your friend invited you to church today is because, well, they love this church, right? They love what God is doing here. They love what God is teaching them here. They love the blessing of having a church family. They love the life, the love, the rest, the connection that they find here. They love the forgiveness that they found here. And listen, if you're here and if you haven't found those things, they want you to find them as well. They want you to find life and love and rest and connection. And if you haven't, they want you to find forgiveness. And maybe you're thinking, well, wait, forgiveness? Why do I need forgiveness? Maybe you're thinking like, you know, I'm not really that bad of a person. And the truth is, you're probably not that bad compared to a lot of people. But you know, one of the central teachings of Christianity is that we're guilty. Every one of us is guilty. And if you search down deep in your soul, no matter who you are, no matter how long you've like been in church somewhere, you probably feel that guilt. Now, sometimes we feel guilty when we shouldn't feel guilty. You know, there is such a thing as like false guilt, like maybe when you feel guilty because you've disappointed someone, but you've not really done anything wrong. I know many victims of violence often feel guilty in the wake of violence. If you're a victim and you feel guilty about being a victim to abuse or some other kind of violence, look, that's false guilt, okay? That's not the kind of guilt that I'm talking about this morning. But maybe you feel guilt that's not false guilt. Maybe you feel guilt that you know you deserve. There's this podcast that Jennifer and I enjoy listening to often. It's called the How I Built This podcast. It's a podcast that there's this guy, Guy Raz, he interviews the founders of like big corporations or businesses, you know, just to find out sort of the secret of their success, the challenges of founding sort of a global company. Last week I was listening to Guy interview the founders of the Life is Good company. Okay, it's a couple of brothers that started a phenomenal t-shirt business. The brothers' names are Bert and John Jacobs. And as they told it, Bert and John's childhood was happy, but it was also, like many families, it was kind of dysfunctional. When they were young, their parents were involved in a near-death car accident. And in that car accident, their dad lost the use of his right arm. And he was an avid outdoorsman, and you know, so he wasn't able to do a lot of the things that he had previously enjoyed doing. And the brothers believed that as a result of that, he became just really depressed. They said that depression would manifest itself in constant yelling and screaming. He'd direct his anger at anything. He wouldn't hit him, right? He wouldn't go into physical abuse, but he would yell at his kids. He'd yell at his wife. Sometimes they said he'd yell straight through the night. But something the brothers also said about their dad that caught my attention. In that interview, they insisted that it wasn't always that way. Even though all this happened when they were very young, the loss of temper, the depression, but in the midst of all that, they remembered their dad coming to them often and apologizing. He would say, you know, I don't mean to be like that. I'm not trying to hurt anybody when I do that. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe there are things in your life, things that you do that you really don't mean to do. Maybe you're like Bert and John's dad. You blow up in anger and later feel terrible about it. Maybe you've said hurtful things that you wish you could take back. Maybe you've done something that you know was selfish and you just wish that you could undo it. But you can't undo it. You can apologize, but you still feel terrible. It's still eating you up inside. You're guilty. Listen, if that's you, join the club, right? Because the truth is, we've all been there. Every one of us, every individual in this room, myself included, we have done things that we really didn't mean to do, things that we wish we could take back. Every one of us is guilty of something. But the reason we're here, the reason we come here week after week is to celebrate the fact that even in our guilt, we have found forgiveness. See, that's what church is all about. Church is not, never has been, never, it was never intended to be a social club. Yes, we have a good time together, but that's not the point. Church was never intended to be some corporate-like institution. We don't see that anywhere in the Bible. No, the purpose of the church, the purpose of this gathering of people known as the church is celebration. We celebrate through worship. We celebrate through ministry. We celebrate through telling others about what God has done for us. And we celebrate because we've been forgiven. But here's the best part. The forgiveness that we've received, that forgiveness that really does absolve our guilt, that forgiveness is available to anyone who will receive it. Anyone, including you. So if you have your Bible with you, I want to invite you to get that passage that we read together earlier in front of you, Luke 18. If you don't have a Bible with you, feel free to use one of those we have in the back of the seat in front of you there. Luke is right after Mark, okay, right before John. The way the Bible works, the big numbers are the chapters, the small numbers are the verses, okay? This morning we're looking at Luke chapter 18, and we're looking at verses 9 through 14. This is a story, okay? This is a parable that Jesus told to a bunch of religious people. Luke tells us that these people were confident of their own righteousness and they looked down on everyone else. Have you ever known anybody like that? Have you ever known anyone like that in church? Maybe that's why you've avoided church in the past. Too many people were confident in their own righteousness while looking down on everyone else. You know, it's tragically ironic that people in the church can be known for that. Did you know that? Jesus spoke against pride and self-righteousness more than he spoke against most things that people in the church complain about today. The problem is, it's really hard to recognize self-righteousness within ourselves. Did you know that? But the cool thing is Jesus helps us do that here. And it's important that we do that, all of us, because it's not just church people that can be self-righteous. The truth is all people can be self-righteous. And if there's anything that gets in the way of finding forgiveness, it's self-righteousness. Okay, so let's take a look. Start in verse 9 again. Luke tells us, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed. Let's stop there for a second, because here's what I want us to do. I want us to notice the different ways Jesus shows us that most people try to deal with their guilt, okay? This Pharisee was arrogant, okay? No question about it. We'll see that as we move along. He was self-righteous, okay? And odds are you're probably not that way, okay? But the truth is, the way that this Pharisee deals with his guilt, it's the way that most people in the world deal with their guilt, even if they're not as arrogant and self-righteous as this guy. Okay, so how does this Pharisee justify himself? What does he use to deal with his guilt? First thing he uses, it's the same thing a lot of people use today, especially in this part of the world known as the Bible Belt, right? He uses religion. Okay, he uses religion to deal with his guilt, or more accurately, he uses religious pride. Because really, in this parable, in this story, we have a picture, again, of two people doing religious things, okay, but only one of them finds forgiveness. Look how religious this Pharisee was. First, he was a Pharisee, okay? The reason Jesus made this character in his story a Pharisee is because in his day, the Pharisees were like, they were super religious, okay? They were like a step above in their, you know, religiousness than everyone else. They had so many rules, okay? Their rules had rules, okay? And they made a big deal about keeping all of those rules. In fact, that's what the Pharisee spends his time doing in this little prayer time here in the temple, right? He stands off by himself. Okay, because, you know, you never know if somebody who's not as holy as you might accidentally, you know, defile you, right? So, you know, when you're super religious, you can't risk just being around anybody. So he stands off by himself. He's alone, okay? And that's what arrogance does. It pushes you to be lonely, right? And when he prays, notice he really kind of prays. I mean, that's what Luke says. He prays to himself, right? He's not praying to God, he prays to himself. And when he does that, he just congratulates himself on all the different ways that he's kept the rules. That's what I mean when I say religion. Okay, look, I know it sounds weird for a preacher to say this, but religion, rule following, whatever rules you follow, right? That's not how you find forgiveness. It's just not. But that's how so many people chase it. So many people try to work their way to forgiveness, try to earn their way to forgiveness, hoping, you know, that the good things they do will outweigh the bad things that they do. But Jesus said that only one of these men went away justified, and it was not the religious guy. Religion's not the way to find forgiveness. Maybe you're thinking, well, thank goodness I'm not religious, right? Well, look, don't think you're off the hook, because there's something that this religious guy does here that all people do, not just religious people, okay? Many people use religion to deal with their guilt, but many more people use comparison. I mean, this guy, this Pharisee, he straight up says, he says, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Right? I'm not like robbers or evildoers or adulterers or even like this tax collector. Again, there's arrogance all over this prayer, but don't get hung up on the arrogance. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to about finding forgiveness in Christ who've said things to me kind of like this. Like, yeah, I mean, I've done some stuff, right? But I'm really not as bad as a lot of people, you know? That's our nature, isn't it? We compare ourselves to others. We make ourselves feel better about ourselves by comparing ourselves to other people. This religious guy says, well, you know, at least I'm not a robber or an adulterer or a tax collector. You know, we do that today. You talk to an adulterer, right? Who says, well, at least I'm not a robber, you know? At least I don't, you know, rob people at gunpoint. And the robber says, well, you know, at least I'm not a murderer. It's not like I ever killed anybody who didn't deserve it, right? It's not like I killed anybody in cold blood. And then the murderer says, well, you know, at least I'm not like a serial killer. It's not like I've ever killed anybody who, you know, didn't deserve it. And the serial killer says, yeah, well, you know, at least I'm not a politician, right? That's, sorry, that was too easy, too easy. But that's what we do, right? To justify ourselves, we compare ourselves to other people. People who, from our perspective, deserve forgiveness less than we do. But again, you won't find forgiveness that way. It doesn't matter how you compare to other people. Other people aren't the standard. So there's religion. There's comparison. And this is a big one. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. The religious guy, look at what he says in verse 12. He says, I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. Now, to be clear, the Jewish law didn't say anything about fasting twice a week. Okay, there was actually only one day a year that they were, you know, supposed to fast. That was on the Day of Atonement. But this guy, he went above and beyond. All right, he went the extra mile, and he was also a giver, right? He gave away 10% of all of his income. There were probably some charities, you know, some nonprofit buildings that were named after this guy, okay? But his sacrifice wasn't enough to find forgiveness, and neither is yours. You can sacrifice your time and you can serve the church for hours a week. You can sacrifice your paycheck and you can give away way more than 10% to people in need. You can sacrifice your career and commit your life to ministry. But no matter how much you sacrifice, it will not be enough to find forgiveness. You say, well, how could that be? Well, because unless your service, unless your giving, unless your sacrifice comes from some other place than trying to line things up for yourself, you're really not doing it for anyone else, are you? In that situation, your sacrifice is about you. That's why Jesus said in another place, he said, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them, otherwise you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You see, true sacrifice isn't about the attention that you get. It's not about the reputational points that you score. It's not about the forgiveness that you think you ought to receive as a reward. If you get something for it in return, it's not really sacrifice. So you won't find forgiveness there. You won't find it with religion or comparison or sacrifice or even some weird mixture of all three. So the question is, where do we find forgiveness? I'm glad you asked, right? Again, this parable is about two people. Okay, two men who went into the temple and prayed. The first guy, the religious guy, the Pharisee, he failed to find forgiveness. But the second guy, we're told, did go away justified. So what was it about this second man? What was it about this tax collector that invited God's forgiveness? Let's take a look, closer look, verse 13. We're told, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Now, maybe you know this already, but in case you don't, let me just kind of explain it. You see, this tax collector here, this wasn't somebody who, you know, just like worked for the IRS of their day, okay? The tax collectors of Jesus' day were bad dudes, all right? First of all, they were traitors to their own countrymen. They didn't collect taxes for Israel. They collected taxes for Rome. Israel was an occupied country, okay? So they collected taxes for the invaders, right? And so, like, that was bad enough. But to make matters worse, they were notorious for cheating. They were notorious for taking more than they were supposed to collect. So basically, everything that this religious Pharisee was, the tax collector wasn't. Okay, the Pharisee was religious. Tax collector was irreligious. Pharisee had standing in the community. Tax collector had no standing in the community. The Pharisee was moral. Tax collector was immoral. The Pharisee was generous. The tax collector was miserly and selfish. Okay? Yet, it was the tax collector who found forgiveness. How? Very quickly, I want you to notice three things about the way Jesus describes this tax collector's prayer. Three things that show us something about the heart of this tax collector. First, there's humility. There's humility. Again, Jesus says, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. So the Pharisee, you see, he stood by himself. He separated himself from the common people, right? But the tax collector stood at a distance. There's a difference there. He was standing away from the religious activity, right? And because from his perspective, he didn't deserve to be there. When he prayed, he would not even look up into heaven, right? Now, that's the way most people prayed in that day, and it's still the way a lot of people pray in the Near East. They look up to heaven. But this man was so humble, so aware of his unworthiness, that he couldn't even bear to look toward God. There's humility. There's also brokenness. There's brokenness again. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast. He was broken. You see, when the Bible shows us people beating their breast, again, this was kind of a cultural thing. People still do this sometimes. But when we see that, they're doing that out of sadness and remorse. According to Jewish thought at the time, the heart was sort of the seat of the will. Right? So when you beat your chest, when you beat your breast, it was almost like you were reprimanding your heart. You know, you were reprimanding your will for whatever it was that you had done. And so in beating his breast, this tax collector recognized something that most people don't understand. He recognized that sin is not something that happens from the outside in. So you don't sin and then become guilty. That's not the way it works. You sin, we sin, I sin, because I'm broken, because I'm already guilty, okay? And so, you know, we sin not just on the surface. We're broken not just on the surface. We're broken all the way to our core. So in this tax collector who found forgiveness, there was humility, there was brokenness, there was also ownership of guilt. Ownership of guilt. In a way, you know, when he's beating his chest there, that's sort of an ownership of guilt. He owned the fact, again, that he was broken from the inside out. But at the end of verse 13, he brings it home. It's the only thing he says to God. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. All this Pharisee went on about his religion and his status compared to others, his sacrifice. The only thing this tax collector said about himself was that he is a sinner, and that more than anything, what he needs from God is mercy. Dear friend, if you don't hear anything else from this message, please hear this. That's what we all need. More than anything, we need God's mercy. We need His forgiveness. And the good news that we celebrate every week when we come to this place is that because of Jesus, the same Jesus who told this story, because of Jesus, forgiveness is available. That's what the cross was about. Jesus went to the cross so that we could find forgiveness. That's what Easter is about. Jesus rose from the dead to show the world that He has the authority to provide forgiveness. And He's the only one who can do that. He's the only one who can provide the forgiveness that our hearts long for, the forgiveness that our hearts need, that we so desperately need. Other religions, other systems will tell you to do more of what doesn't work. Okay, that's the difference. That's what sets Christianity apart from other ways of accomplishing this. They'll encourage you to find more religion, to move toward more comparison, to bring into your life more sacrifice. But look, Jesus simply offers you an invitation. That's all. An invitation to humble yourself, to admit your brokenness, and to own your guilt. He invites you just to find forgiveness in Him. Can I ask you something personal? Have you found that forgiveness? If you haven't, and you can find it today. Look, if you're religious, okay? Hear this, religious people. If you're religious, and if you've been relying on your religion, if you've been relying on your church going, on your comparison to others, if you've been relying on your sacrifice to provide forgiveness, you can find real forgiveness in Jesus today. Just by being broken, humbling yourself, and owning your guilt. And if you're not at all religious, right? You can find forgiveness too. Same way the tax collector did, with humility, with brokenness, and with ownership of guilt. Man, let me encourage you, give your life to Jesus today. Maybe you came here at the invitation of someone, but maybe the reason you're here is just to hear this word. God loves you deeply, and He wants to know you. Maybe you're here because you invited someone and you knew they were going to be here, and so you couldn't skip out this week, right? But maybe the message that God wants you to hear is that God loves you. You don't have to work for this. You don't have to earn this. God loves you, and He wants to know you. And you can know Him through Jesus. Let me invite you, if you will, just to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's